Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, another weekend is almost upon us, and it's Packers-Redskins on Sunday Night Football from FedEx Field in Landover, Maryland, I guess we say, instead of Washington, D.C. But anyway, that's where we'll be headed. Big game for both teams, really, as we've talked about all week long. Packers trying to snap a three-game losing streak. And when you look at this one, what's the first thing that comes to mind in terms of the key to victory for Green Bay here?
Well, what's really interesting, Mike, is as I was putting together our five key matchups for our website this week, the protection of Kirk Cousins really stood out to me. Now, mind you, they don't have Trent Williams right now, who's missing because of suspension. But their 12 sacks allowed are the second fewest in the NFL this season. And if you look at Kirk Cousins and what his strengths and weaknesses are as a quarterback, he's a pocket passer. He's a guy that's going to beat you with his arm, not his feet. So to be able to have that kind of protection, I thought, has been really important for his maturity, both as a passer and also just being able to keep him in some clean looks and getting the ball out. Offensively, there's a lot of weapons there that Washington has. I mean, there's a lot to like about what they're doing and the way that Jay Gruden's doing it. You know, I think they have, as you pointed out earlier this week, is it five or six players with over 30 catches already this season?
Yeah, I believe it's six players with at least 25 catches on the year. That's pretty remarkable.
Pretty remarkable. Yeah. So both the receivers being able to get separation and tight ends getting separation, and that offensive line keeping the pocket clean for Kirk Cousins, you have to find a way to disrupt that, whether it's with the pass rush or whether it's with your secondary. I think that's really the primary objective for the Packers going into Landover, Maryland.
Yeah, I think when you look at last year's wild card playoff game, obviously that seems like, you know, eons ago in a lot of respects, but the Packers did have quite a bit of success with their pass rush in that game, not only getting to Kirk Cousins, but I believe even forcing a fumble or two, you know, in the pocket there as well. And Trent Williams was playing in that game. So we'll see. The Redskins obviously did some work on their pass protection in the offseason to shore that up. You mentioned the plethora of weapons that the Redskins have in that passing game. When I look at what happened to the Packers last week with Delanie Walker and what he did as the Tennessee Titans tight end having a big game and several explosive plays, I just think if you're the Packers from a pass coverage standpoint, you can't let Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis, this 1-2 punch at tight end, you can't let them control the game, because if those guys are controlling the middle of the field, then the Packers defense, I think, could be in for a long day, and you just have to try to hold up. And I think one of the biggest things that hurt them against Walker, I will say this, was missed tackles.
Yeah.
These guys are going to get their catches. These playmaking tight ends are going to get open and make their catches, but you can't miss the tackle and then let them get an extra 10 or 20 or 25 yards after the catch. If they catch the ball, get them on the ground, live to play another down.
Definitely. And that's the one thing that you can be stressed with a player like Walker, who he came into the league, it was kind of a tweener between a receiver and tight end. But as he started to establish himself more with San Francisco, you really saw him become an all-around player. The one thing he always had was the ability to shed tackles at the second level and get those defensive backs off of him. That's something that Jordan Reed does incredibly well. Vernon Davis has made a career out of it. And I thought, when you look at Scott McLuhan and he goes to Washington, he has the experience with San Francisco, the history with Vernon Davis, bringing him in, a lot of people would have been satisfied with just having Jordan Reed, but he acknowledged that they wanted to have a 1-2 punch there, and they've certainly been able to establish it this season. And I'm sure when you look at the interior of that offense, along with, you know, what you know, Crowder has done for them this season, that's where they're really going to stress you.
Yeah, for sure. When I look at this from the Packers' perspective, trying to break this three-game losing streak, trying to get back to 500 here, get to 5-5 after 10 games, hopefully, I think it's the case of where somehow, some way, you just have to flip the script. And what I mean by that is these last two games, we've seen the Packers fall behind big, behind and early, where you're playing uphill right from the get-go, whether it's the 99-yard kickoff return for a touchdown or the 75-yard run by DeMarco Murray for a touchdown right off the bat last week. The Packers need to flip the script. You look back to the Atlanta game, you know, a tough 33-32 loss. That was just a few weeks ago. And The Packers had the lead at halftime. They came out of halftime with the ball and a chance to make it a two-score game. They failed to do that, and then they were in a, you know, a dogfight the rest of the way. I think things just completely change for this team if they can somehow avoid that slow start and play with a lead and maybe put a little bit more pressure on that Redskins offense, and that's maybe where you can turn the pass rush loose a little bit and try to disrupt Cousins a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. And I think that that's – it's obviously everybody's chasing perfection. There's no question about that. Everybody wants to play a perfect 60 minutes. But I thought this season in particular has really illustrated how fine that line is for the Packers, because we've seen it throughout the first nine games of the season. They've played well in every phase. They've had moments in every game. But it's been trying to tie them all together. You know, when they come out fast, they aren't able to bring it over to the start of the second half. When they start slow, they come out with arguably their best start to a second half of the season in Tennessee. So if you could start to connect the dots a little bit, I think that that's the one thing, is that we're seeing the focal point. We're seeing the sun in this game for the Packers. They're just revolving around it. If they can just find things to start to align for them, I think the potential's there. And when you look at Washington, they were in the same boat last year, coming off those two consecutive losses to end the regular season, an opportunity for them now to kind of turn the course of their season again against them.
Yeah, and I got a question this week in Insider Inbox that I answered on the website about maybe the Packers just need the ball to bounce their way one time. Yeah. And I said, you know, I remember sitting in the Ford Field press box last year. The Packers had lost 4 out of 5 games. And we saw James Starks fumble the ball into the end zone, and Randall Cobb fell on it. And right. You start thinking maybe that's the break they need, and you end up winning that game on a Hail Mary touchdown pass, and things start to turn around. So you just never know where it can come from. But we're going to continue to break this game down for Sunday Night Football coming up. We're back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Mike Spofford here. Wes, a quick look at the injury update for the Packers here. We heard from Mike McCarthy on Friday morning. Right guard TJ Lang not available this week, so Don Barkley will be stepping in as he did in Tennessee, and we had talked about that quite a bit earlier in the week as well. Jake Ryan, inside linebacker, out for this game as well, which essentially turns over that inside linebacker position to two players. Joe Thomas and Blake Martinez are really the only two guys, at least as of now, that the Packers have there. And they're going into this game thin at that spot. And if there is another injury, hopefully there won't be, but if there is another injury, there's going to have to be some adjusting going on.
Well, and Mike McCarthy mentioned that the first adjustment that they made last weekend was that if anything would have happened to Martinez or Joe Thomas, Morgan Burnett was actually going to be the emergency inside linebacker there, and that's a position that Morgan has learned. He knows it. If he has to be deployed there, it wouldn't be completely foreign, but you'd also be using a strong safety at that position, which is not on an every down basis what you probably are looking for. So Clay Matthews obviously has a history there now too if he's back, but McCarthy really didn't want to get into that scheme wise if he's a possibility. And then, I mean, also you got to look at the practice squad. If they do feel like they need an extra body, Carl Bradford knows this defense well. He's been here for over 2 years now, so there's options. But at the end of the day, I think that the takeaway from Ryan's injury is this is a young man that was playing really good football and was leading them, I believe, in tackles this year. It just seems like he was everywhere and provided them a really consistent presence. And I thought had a lot to do with the ability and what they've done against the run. So
I agree.
Those are things that Joe Thomas, Blake Martinez, and the rest of that defense will have to pick up when he's not out there.
Yeah, for sure. They're going to miss Jake Ryan, particularly in the run defense, for as long as he's going to be out. We'll have to see about that. We did hear that left tackle David Bakhtiari appears to be good to go. Rookie Jason Spriggs obviously will be at the ready to step in if needed, but the veteran Bakhtiari all set once again to try to protect Aaron Rodgers' blindside.
Yeah, that's kind of the culture that sort of developed here over the last few years, Mike, in terms of guys really stepping up on that offensive line when injuries happen. I think it says a lot that, you know, TJ Lang has missed. This will only be the third game since 2011 when he became a starter that he's missed.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Just an iron man, an absolute iron man for that offensive line. And you've seen a lot of those traits in Bakhtiari now, too. And when you look at...
No question.
He obviously missed the final two games of last season, the regular season, with the ankle injury, and missed the game against Washington in the playoffs with that, but came back, and, you know, he talked about after the year all the things he was dealing with. He's a dude that won't be denied. He's going to be out there if he can be, and really played at an exceptionally high level. But I thought the one thing that was interesting, too, that James Campen talked about when he met with the media this week is that the Packers probably are a little bit better equipped to handle these injuries than they were a year ago, just because you have more guys behind them that have natural positions, with Spriggs as a left tackle. Kyle Murphy with a background as a tackle. Don Barkley knows every position. The versatility and the depth is really there, and that's something, if whether... You know, Bakhtiari plays or not, that's something the Packers have a lot of confidence in.
Yeah, and on the Redskins side of things, the one injury that's been bandied about a little bit is wide receiver DeSean Jackson with his shoulder injury. Do you know what the latest is on that as we tape this episode?
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot. I mean, obviously he's dealing with that sprain. That's something that he's dealt with, it seems like, at points for the last few seasons. So at the time in which we're taping this, they haven't put out their declarations yet. I believe he's been limited with that this week in practice. So he's a big-time player, and the Packers have seen a lot of him over the years,
yeah.
You know, split between his time in Philadelphia and now with Washington. And really, when you look at the downfield threat that he presents, and a guy that can play both inside and out, he's a little bit more into his years now in the NFL, but a really solid player. Pierre Garçon has done it for a number of years, too. Great hands, super productive for them since he came over from Indianapolis. And, you know, Jamison Crowder has become a really impactful player in the slot. All those guys play off of each other, so... if Jackson's either on a rep count or not available at all, that does make a big effect on that offense in terms of building that chemistry with Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, the thing I think that makes this Redskins offense such a tough matchup is just the different skill sets, body types that they have amongst these pass catchers that, you know, Cousins spreads the ball around to so many different guys. But Jackson and Crowder are the speedy, the quick twitch guys. And then, you know, as we talked about, Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis are the big targets who can, you know, shake off tackles. And even when you think you have them covered, sometimes they're still going to come down with the ball. And then you have a veteran mixed in there in Pierre Garçon, who's been around the block a few times. I mean, he's seen it all. And whether he's been in Indy or in Washington, he's been productive. He's been reliable. He's one of those move the chains guys that, you know, Cousins is going to look for him on third down, especially if his tight ends are being double covered, for example. So just a lot of options that the Packers are going to have to deal with on Sunday night.
Yeah, and the ace in the hole for them too is Chris Thompson, who's a really solid pass catcher out of the backfield, 5'8", 135 pounds, in 30 catches already this season. So it shows you again that, you know, Cousins is going to go through his read, and he's going to try to find the open guy, and if he doesn't have him, Thompson's really been that safety valve for him. So that's how they've been able to move the ball, and they're the third leading passing offense in the NFL right now for a reason. It played into that, and they've given him plenty amount of protection and weapons to be able to execute the offense to the best of his ability after, as we talked about earlier this week, a pretty slow start to the season.
Yeah, and for as far as running the ball, the Redskins appear to have turned things over to rookie Rob Kelly, who I think Washington's kind of looking at this, you know, primetime Sunday night game as maybe the coming out party for their young running back. But we've got some things about the Packers backfield that we want to talk about. We come back after the break, back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford next to Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we look at the Packers backfield right now. James Starks returned from his month-long absence last week against Tennessee. And when you think back to that game, if there's one play that stands out, it's when Starks took that screen pass in the red zone over to the left, made a really sharp cut, I thought, back to the middle of the field, and weaved his way into the end zone for a touchdown. And you just can't help but wonder, when you see a play like that, how much maybe the screen pass starts to work its way back into the Packers' arsenal with a guy like Starks who's been running that play and been pretty successful with it over the course of his career.
Absolutely, Mike. And I this goes back to something interesting. I asked Mike McCarthy about this on Friday morning in terms of what dimension that adds to the offense. And he kind of said it's sort of just about being a three-down running back. And when you think about how many reps and snaps and opportunities he's got against Tennessee, 55, snaps with the offense, first game back, that's a lot of work. But
yeah.
You also have to remember, this is a Packers offense that had kind of been starved of an every down running back for a month.
Yeah.
Since he'd been out and they lost Eddie Lacy. I mean, give credit to Ty Montgomery for all the things he's done, but he's been learning that position on the fly this year. You have a guy like Starks who's been in the NFL for six seasons and has saw and been developed with how the Packers want to use those guys. It's important to run between the tackles. It's important to be able to get production out of the backfield. But a big part of that, too, is pass protection, and it's the screen game. And that's one area where he's been incredibly effective over the last 2.5 years specifically,
yeah.
And really given them a presence there. So I think when you think about this offense and the various ways that you can get production, that's one of the things that had kind of been robbed from them when they didn't have Starks. And now that he's back, it'll be interesting to see if they can capitalize on that again, because it looked like they hadn't skipped a beat on that particular touchdown play.
Yeah, I thought it was a really impressive play and something they may hang their hat on a little bit here going forward. As far as the newcomer in the backfield, Christian Michael, coming over a waiver claim from Seattle this week, kind of a whirlwind situation. He takes a red eye flight from Seattle to Green Bay. He's in Green Bay for a few hours and then he's out on the practice field and everything. I mean, who knows how much he even slept?
Yeah.
To get ready, and we don't know how much he'll be available to do anything, if anything, on Sunday. That'll potentially a game time decision there as far as the active and inactive list. But tell us a little bit about what you heard from Michael when he spoke to reporters in the locker room on Thursday.
Well, first off, Mike, you and I did the red-eye trip back from San Francisco this yeah. year. We got back into Green Bay, what was it, quarter after 6 in the morning?
Yeah, yeah, that preseason game, yeah.
You and I had a hard time being professional writers, let alone professional athlete. And this is a young man that at 9:45, he had to actually have a connecting flight through Chicago.
Yeah.
9:45 gets in Green Bay. 2 hours later, he's on the practice field. He did say he's going to try to sneak in a nap at some point. I don't know if he ended up being successful in that. But the one thing that really came out when he talked with reporters is just the excitement and energy that he has. I mean, you're talking about a guy that has been through a lot, and he's learned a lot, too. And I think that he sees this as a real fresh start. He made a lot of changes when he went back to Seattle the second time, but yet that was still somewhat the same situation he'd always been in because he was drafted there.
Yeah.
Green Bay, he looks at this as the opportunity of a lifetime, really, to, as he said, feed his family and find a new home. And that's what he's working to do. From a personality standpoint, I really liked him. I mean, when he went around and shook all the beat writers' hands afterwards, and just seems like a really personable, gregarious kind of fellow. So we'll have to see if that translates on the football field, but there was no shortage of energy despite all of that jet lag that he might have been feeling.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see, as I said, how much he might be available to do things in Washington. If nothing else, if he is active and he suits up, he gives you another option potentially on a short yardage or a goal line situation if James Starks needs a breather, you know, this and that. I think Mike McCarthy is really going to focus, I guess you might say, on James Starks and what he can do to this offense to try to generate the balance that they're looking for to not get a game into a shootout. I mean, let's face it, the Packers defense is struggling. It's still banged up. You're going to hopefully get Clay Matthews back, but you don't want to get into a shootout with these guys. You want to try to have some kind of offensive balance, control some of the time of possession, limit the opportunities for the other team, and try to be right there in the fourth quarter with a chance to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, the Mike Spofford let's be real moment of the week is the fact that Michael, when you look at him coming into this offense right now, Eddie Lacy's not going to be back next week. I think at minimum he's going to miss another month, even if everything goes well with his recovery.
Right.
This is an investment in the weeks to come. The reality is the here and now is James Starks and Ty Montgomery, and then if you can get Michael starting to contribute in the weeks to follow, I think that's a big plus for this offense because the talent is certainly there.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll do one more quick segment here before we wrap up the week on Packers Unscripted. Back with more right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, as we usually do, our final segment of the final show of the week, we take a look at a few other games around the NFL this weekend that'll potentially have some bearing on the Packers. You start right in the NFC North. As always, Jacksonville at Detroit and Arizona at Minnesota. So the Packers' two biggest rivals here in terms of the NFC North chase are both playing at home. In a perfect world, if you're the Packers, the Jaguars go into Ford Field and pull off an upset, and the Cardinals do the same at U.S. Bank Stadium, and you take the field Sunday night with a chance to create a three-way tie atop the division. Who knows, right?
Yeah, and it's funny, as much attention as this game is getting for Green Bay and the importance of it going into Washington, I would argue that both Minnesota and Detroit are playing their most important games of the season. From the Lions' perspective, you need to win this game, and not just because of what it does, not that it makes you 6-4. You finally need to beat an opponent that you're supposed to beat. Yeah. That's the interesting thing that's been about their season. They've beaten the teams they aren't supposed to beat, and they've lost the letdown games that would really lead to a strong season.
Yeah.
They have to find that balance.
And they're fighting, sorry to interrupt you, but the Lions are fighting that phrase you hear out of Detroit and out of Michigan all the time, the same old Lions, because they get in positions like this and then they don't capitalize and they don't take advantage. If they lose at home to the Jaguars to fall to 5-5, it's going to be that same old Lions line all the time, and they need to flip that script for their sake.
And that Jaguars offense can play with anybody. I know they've had a lot of issues this year, but we've seen the way that Allen Robinson can get going. They can hang in there. It's just a matter of whether or not Detroit can do what they need to do to win that ball game.
Yeah, and then Minnesota at home against the Cardinals. These two teams, if I remember right, played a down-to-the-wire game out in Arizona last year. I still don't know what to make of the Cardinals. You think every time you think they're maybe going to turn it around and start heading the other direction, they needed a walk-off field goal to beat a struggling San Francisco 49ers team last week. They did get the win. They look at themselves as still right in the thick of this playoff chase. And so the Cardinals with the long road trip trying to get a big road win in Minnesota.
Yeah, it's really been the highlight of the bizarro year that has been the NFC. And the fact is Minnesota needs to stop the bleeding. The Cardinals need to start getting on a rally here because that's a tough division. And right now they're looking at a wild card spot is what they're competing for. So they got to try to stay within arm's reach of Seattle.
Yeah, and then another big game in the NFC. You have Philadelphia 5-4 traveling to Seattle. The Seahawks may be considered the hottest team in the NFL right now. The Eagles coming off a big win over the Falcons, but the Seahawks having knocked off the Patriots last week. Those are two playoff contenders in the NFC going head-to-head in a big one.
Philadelphia looking to keep that momentum going. That was a big game for them. Now they can try to do it against arguably the best team in the NFC right now.
Yeah, for sure. All right, well, with that, we'll call it a wrap on Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford. You can find the team account at Packers. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.